From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. Once more, this is Alan Cairns, welcoming you to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in today. We appreciate you taking the time to make this program part of your day. I trust that the Lord will bless you as we return in a few minutes to Matthew's Gospel. We'll be going into the 6th chapter today, looking at Christ's Sermon on the Mount, talking about the service of the Kingdom of God here upon the earth. So stay with us as in a few minutes we look at the Word of the Lord. First, however, our hot topic for the day, murder at the vicarage. Many years ago, Agatha Christie wrote one of her many Jean Marple murder mysteries, Murder at the Vicarage. Christie had a way of injecting an old-world charm, an air of unreality into her mysteries, making them rather an amusing intellectual game than the awful evil that murder really is. But in real life, there's nothing charming or amusing about murder. That was brought home to the people of the United Kingdom a few months ago when a popular Anglican vicar was brutally murdered outside his own home in South Wales. In an obvious play on the Christie title, one national newspaper's headline screamed, Murder at the Vicarage. It was a gruesome story. As the vicar's wife peered through the darkness, she saw the silhouette of a man viciously stabbing her husband, the minister of the local Anglican church. She rushed to his aid, but could not revive him. Her husband lay dead in her arms, the victim of yet another apparently senseless knife attack in Britain. The police surmised that the assailant had come to the church looking for money to satisfy his drug habit and had murdered the minister when he got in his way. It seems unthinkable that a human life should be valued so little, but tragically, that's the case in Britain today. That thought was reinforced by another story in the news reports of that same day. A taxi driver murdered for about $35, the amount his attackers got away with. In Britain, authorities are nonplussed by the emergence of a knife culture among young people that has left a trail of blood and death across the nation. In a country that has long prided itself in the almost total absence of gun crimes, this has come as a shock. Though the usual talking heads are to be seen and heard daily on TV and radio, the truth is that there's no ready answer to the problem. In fact, that is the problem. People are looking for solutions to problems in isolation. They're not looking at the real cause of the problems. The reason is simple. To deal with the real cause would entail changes in basic attitudes and lifestyles, and most people are just not interested in such changes. So they keep looking for some band-aid to cover an immediate problem, when what they should be looking for is a radical surgery. The underlying causes of the violence among young people are many. It's easy to say that drugs and the emergence of street gangs are the causes. The deeper question of what causes young people to enter this vicious lifestyle is receiving a lot of scholarly attention. I believe that the roots may be traced to the breakdown of family life, which in turn is the product of the abandonment of a biblical model for the family. In other words, when parents abandoned God's house and God's word when they put their own sinful lusts and pleasures above the call of the gospel and the needs of their children, they put their families at risk. Kids nowadays are reared with TV and video games, all to the drumbeat of rock and rap musicians, as they call themselves. The simple truth is that you can't fill young people with the rebellion and violence of hell and expect them to live like angels. The awful thing is that while society pussyfoots around the real causes of the knife and gang culture, the cause of drugs and the spread of violence, innocent victims will continue to die. We sympathize with the families of the minister and the taxi driver. We pray that in grace God will cause the nation to awake to its real needs and get back to the faith of the gospel. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, and the program originates from our church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'd like to invite you to make sure you spend this part of the day each day with us here on the program, and we'd also like you to participate by getting in touch with us. The mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org, or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. That's 1-866-877-LTBS. Do keep us in your prayers, and don't forget this week to be in touch with us here at Let the Bible Speak. Now return to our study of the Sermon on the Mount. We will today go to Matthew chapter 6 as we continue the study. We have been looking at God's righteous kingdom, starting with the subjects of the kingdom, then the statutes of the kingdom, the standards of the kingdom, and now the service of the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 6, we find that the Lord speaks of giving of alms, he speaks of prayer, and he speaks of fasting. That means that we serve God with our eye upon the values of eternity. Now we pick up where we left off yesterday, and we point out that this calls on us to serve God wholeheartedly. Let's now turn to the Word of God.
And then serve God wholeheartedly. That's what verse 22 to the end of the chapter is all about. Don't be taking anxious thought about what you're going to eat or drink or whatever. Don't be getting caught up with the worries of this world. Get your eyes on this. Verse 33 and 4, seek first the kingdom of God. Verse 34 again, take no thought of tomorrow. Seek the kingdom. Serve with a wholehearted attitude where every fiber of your being, every ounce of your energy, every bit of your ability, everything is dedicated to the service of the King with a view to eternity. God stamp eternity on our hearts. I think it was Willie Nicholson, the great Presbyterian evangelist, the early part of the 20th century, Northern Ireland, used to pray that God would stamp eternity upon our eyeballs. What a prayer. Nicholson was not an orator by the usual sense of the word, but Nicholson preached that men would understand and never forget. God stamp eternity upon our eyeballs so that everything we see through eternity. That's the service. Final word. I've talked about the statutes of the kingdom and the service of the kingdom. Chapter 7 of the Gospel of Matthew, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, speaks of the standards of the kingdom. And the emphasis you will see as you look at chapter 7 is on separation. Verses 1 to 5, separate from sin, get it out of your life. How often you hear this, judge not that ye be not judged. In other words, if I say a word against sodomy and sodomites, judge not that ye be not judged. What a perversion of Scripture. The same Savior says, judge righteous judgment. He's obviously not contradicting himself. What he's talking about here is hypocritical self-righteous judgment, that hypocrisy that judges you by one standard and judges myself by a very different and easier standard. That's what he's talking about. What he's saying is here, look, if you have a 2x4 stuck in your eye, you're not very likely to be able to see clearly to pluck out a little splinter from somebody else's eye, a little speck of wood dust from somebody else's eye. That's the illustration. It's a plank in your eye and a speck in somebody else's. He's saying, now if you are really interested in helping that person get rid of the speck, there's something you've got to do first, and that's you've got to get the 2x4 out of your own eye. Does that not make sense? That's what the Savior is saying. Separate from sin. Deal with your own sin first. Now we're getting someplace, because that's where the hypocrite in every one of us doesn't want to go. See, it's really very easy to deal with your sin, as long as I'm the one dealing with it. Very easy to condemn your sin and to judge your sin. The difficulty comes in identifying, confessing, dealing with, and judging my own sin. Jesus says separation starts there, personally, from sin. Then from verse 6 through to verse 12, he says, you've got to separate between mere triflers and sincere seekers after truth. He's warning you that you don't give what's holy to dogs. You don't cast your pearls before swine. Sometimes I feel like that when I'm driving along and listening to talk radio, and somebody comes on with one of these ungodly, foul-mouthed, ranting, raving lunatics to whom the microphones of talk radio seem to be home, and they try to discuss with them and give out to them some of the pearls of holiness from the Word of God, and they're trampled underfoot. Now, I'm not in a position to say that that's always the case, and I'm sure many sincere people do seek to give a sincere witness, and if they can do that, God bless them. All I'm saying is you've got to understand the difference between people who are seeking and people who are having an argument for argument's sake. People who are never going to be convinced no matter what you say. People who are mere triflers. Jesus is saying, you don't take the holy things of God and throw them in the pathway of a pack of pigs. So you don't do business with triflers. That's what he's saying. What would Jesus refer to anybody as being in the category of swine? Would he? Well, I know that in this politically correct age, that may not sound very nice. I'd rather be Christ-like than politically correct. There are people who are only trifling with the things of God, that with the feet of swine, they would tramp them into the dirt. You've got to know the difference. We should be witnesses. We should be witnesses. And give out the gospel to every seeker. But we are not called, nor should we seek to. We are not called to bring the gospel down, to be thrown about like some unclean thing in useless argument with triflers. And then, verse 13 to the end of the chapter, he's saying, separate yourselves from false prophets. Whatever apparent spiritual powers or pedigree those prophets may possess. That's a very important passage. Because he's telling you, you enter in at the straight gate and all the rest of it. And then he's saying, beware of false prophets. And then he ends up by saying, those who hear and obey me, they build on rock. Those who hear and don't obey, they build on sand. We usually take that last part actually as being descriptive of all hearers, and to an extent that's true. But I believe in context, he's speaking about the difference between prophets and false prophets. The false prophets, at best, construct houses built on quicksand. So what do you do with them? Repudiate them. And I want to tell you something. These two things at the beginning of this passage go together. If you're going to enter in at the straight gate, you repudiate false prophets. This emphasis on separation from false prophets lies at the heart of what Christ is saying at this great climax to his sermon. He's talking now about eternity. He's talking about getting on the way to heaven. He's talking about ending up in heaven or ending up in hell. And he's saying, listen, if you want to get on the way to heaven and if you want to make sure you arrive in heaven, then repudiate false prophets. Separate from them. Because men who come to this Bible but do not believe and teach what its gospel says, they may build beautiful churches, they may build crystal cathedrals, they may build wonderful organizations, they may entrance you and enamor you, but they will destroy you because they have no foundation. That's what he's saying. Separation. The standard of the kingdom is the standard of separation. Now we come full circle. I started off this morning by saying that the subjects of the kingdom have the statutes. Now here's the standard for obeying the statute. What is it? Separation in holiness unto God. A separated life. And I'm going to make a sweeping statement. I hope it gets through to us. If you are not willing to have a separated life in holiness unto God and His Christ, you cannot be saved. You cannot be a Christian. That's not my standard. That's Christ's standard. Takes it up again, although I'm not going to follow it here, in Luke 14. He announces the very same thing. This is the taking up of the cross. This is leaving father and mother. This is even hating all to love Him. This is enthroning Christ as your standard, as the one on whom you model your life. This is setting up Christ as the one who is your Lord, your Master, your pattern, your guide. Is He that to you? If He's not, you need to be saved. How can you be saved? By making Him your pattern, your guide? No, sir, you can't. By first realizing He is the fulfiller of the law. Come to Him to receive Him as your justifier, and you will find that He will also be your sanctifier. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Christ, the great fulfiller of the law. We thank Thee for giving Thy believing people a perfect righteousness with which they stand complete and sinless before God, accepted in the Beloved. Oh, what a joy to have God's dear Son incarnate, obedient unto death as our Redeemer. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bring every person here to that experience and grant that no man or no woman will go out rejecting Christ. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt speak to all who name the name of Christ and give us grace to obey Him Grant that the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now hear our prayer, and grant that thy mercy and peace will be our abiding portion as we leave this house. Grant that the beauty of the Lord our God will be upon us, that we will bear the image of our Father who is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.